Good morning, all. Good to see you. It's the 22nd of March, 2026. And I'm here right now. And my whole life journey has brought me to this point right now. The good, the bad, and the ugly. A large part of it was good. Some of it was bad. And a few bits were downright ugly. The interesting thing is that it's been the same for you as well. You're here on the same day in this place. And your life journey has brought you to this place here right now as well. I'm hoping it wasn't as ugly as mine. So, what if I were to die this afternoon? Would I be happy? Would I be pleased with that? Apart from just the fact of dying, I mean, that isn't great, is it? You know, but I would be a little bit disappointed. And the reason is basically that some of you who are here for the AGM will have heard Pastor Robin prophesy over me. And it was a prophecy that I've heard a few times before as well. The best is yet to come. So I'm believing for that. I'm believing there's going to be something better than this for me in my life. I'd like to think the same for you as well. But it presents me with a dilemma. The dilemma that we all know about. If I carry on doing for the next 10 years what I've done in the last 10 years, I'll end up at the same place. You all know that, don't you? So something, if things are going to get better, and I'm not just going to lie down and say, oh, Lord, it's all going to be better and let you do it all. And I guess that that isn't actually going to happen. Something in me has got to change. I've got to be different. So, I want things to be different. And I've called it intentional Christianity, if you like. What I'd like for myself is that I would be less passive. There's a sense in which I just let life come on to me. You know, I read the Bible a bit and I pray a bit and I worship a bit and somehow, Lord, it will be all okay. I'm growing in grace a little bit and, you know, I'm a bit more sanctified than I was a few years ago, and okay. But the reality is that what I've done has got me to here right now. It hasn't got me somewhere else. So I'm saying, Lord, how can that change? And what I feel was that I need to be less passive and more active about things. The Bible says that, what John the Baptist said, that you must decrease and he must increase. Now, I want to say that I think that that's actually true of me. That there is less of me now than there was a while ago and there's more of Jesus. I'd be realistic. I think that's true. But somehow, I don't really believe that I've been incredibly intentional about that. I haven't actively said, hey, today, Lord, I'm going to give up some of myself and I'm going to have more of you, and actually gone for it actively. And I feel that that's what the Lord's calling me to do, and be more active about it. So all I would say to them this morning is, well, I'm going to say more than just this, actually, but I'd say, you know, if it resonates with you, will you join me? Will you join me? One day, the Bible tells us a story that a father who had a very seriously epileptic son and who was also possessed by an evil spirit, he brought his son to Jesus for Jesus to do something. And when he got there, Jesus wasn't there. That must have been a bit of a blow. Many, many people were told that they came to Jesus for him to heal them. Fancy you turning up to church on the one day Jesus wasn't there. And when he got there, they found that they said, "Oh no, he's not here. He and the three main guys, Peter, James, and John, they've gone up that mountain over there." "Oh right. Well, who is here?" "Well, there's us, there's the other disciples, there's the other nine of us here." "Oh well, okay, you'll have to do." So he brought the boy to the disciples and they prayed over him. And nothing happened. And they prayed and nothing happened. And they prayed and nothing happened. And then Jesus and the other three disciples came back down the mountain. And the Bible says that Jesus noticed that there was a commotion going on. And what was the commotion? "Well, I brought my son to your disciples and they couldn't do anything. Can you do something? Or have I come here in vain?" Jesus said, "Can I do something? Did you not know that to him who believes, everything is possible?" And he healed the boy. Now, the disciples, of course, were a bit miffed by this. You can understand that, can't you? And so they said to Jesus, "Why couldn't we do that?" And the Gospels give two different answers for the same story, although, of course, they're connected. Let's have a look at them. The first is Matthew 17. And Matthew 17 said this: "Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief.'" Wow, whoa, hold on, I thought they prayed, I thought they were in belief. In fact, another version says, "Because of your little faith." In other words, they needed more. "So I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible." So there was a shortfall in them somewhere. There was something not right. They'd got too little faith. Let's see what Mark says. Gospel of Mark in chapter 9. "And when he had come to the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'This particular issue can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" Some of the versions don't say fasting. It seemed to be added later on. Next time I speak, I'll talk about fasting. But today I want to talk about the prayer. "This will not happen without prayer and fasting." Now, hold on a minute. "We did pray. So why did nothing happen? The reason is that it wasn't that prayer that he was talking about. And that's what I want to just talk, only for a short time this morning. We've been talking about Jesus going away quietly into a secret place. You can have too little faith. And you can pray, but you can not pray enough. And this is what it says about Jesus. This is the difference. Let's look at Mark 9 and verse 1. And he said, Assuredly, I say to you that there are some... That isn't what I want. Sorry, I've got the wrong one then, maybe. Is there another part to that? No? Okay. It's the bit that I've got is, you can be given power and authority. Jesus sent the disciples out and gave them power and authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal the sick. Just shortly before this happened, and they went out and they saw some good things happen, but it still didn't happen on this day. Why was that? Had it run out? Was it not just for everything? Why was this happening? Where has it gone? I want to go back to the Lord's Prayer, which, you know, we've been looking at. Let's hands up. Has anybody prayed the Lord's Prayer today? Two people. Or prayed a prayer that was based on the Lord's Prayer? Two of us. Three of us. Okay. And me as well. Okay. So you realize that isn't fair. That isn't universal for us. Okay. So let's look at Luke 11 and see what Jesus says. At the end of that, Lord, so his disciples came to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, and then he says the Lord's Prayer. Do you know, it's an amazing thing, this is. It's really amazing to me. If Pastor Robin were to stand up now and say, I think we need to all to move out of this church. Do you know, everybody get up and move out. Is that right? If I asked you now to just say, guys, I just want everybody here in this room to stand up, my guess is that you'd actually stand up. And if I said, okay, that's great, now you can sit down, you'd sit down. But Jesus says, when you pray, say this. And hardly anybody's done it. Don't you find that amazing? Whenever you pray, say this. And yet none of us do it. How strange is that? That is seriously strange. If Jesus came in this room today, right now, and said anything, you would do it. And yet, we have a very clear, straightforward, we're told very clearly what to do, and none of us do it. Why is that? I'm sure there's things going through your mind. For me, I'm of the age when I said it at school every solitary day of my life. While I was thinking of the football, while I was thinking of anything, I could say the Lord's Prayer and think of anything. It just came out. And that's partly of the problem. There's a sense in which we learnt it by rote. Oh, well, you just say the Lord's Prayer. You know, it's a thing you do. So maybe we think, well, it's a little bit old hat, you know, it's what we used to do and we don't do it anymore. Why don't you say the Lord's Prayer? Do you think it's not important? Would Jesus say, when you pray, say this, but it's not important? What about, well, Jesus didn't actually mean that. Okay, that's fine. So you can come to me privately afterwards and tell me what it meant. The difficulty I have is that it seems to be fairly straightforward to me. When you pray, say this. And we learned, didn't we, before, that the disciples had lots and lots of prayers. They weren't short of prayers. They were Jewish. They got lots and lots of prayers. What they actually were saying was, Jesus, when you go away and you get on your own and you spend all night in prayer, or you go out early in the morning on your own in a secret place, what do you pray then? Tell us what you do. And we learnt that, well, Jesus said, this is what I pray. This is what Jesus prayed. So I want us just to look at that just for a short time this morning. You see, when they couldn't heal the boy, it wasn't that the prayer they prayed was the wrong prayer, but they themselves were not prepared. They weren't ready. Oh, well, we did it last week. Oh, it'll just happen this week. No, it won't. No, it won't. We heard, didn't we, about Jesus saying, who touched me? Because something had gone from him. Something had gone. They weren't prepared. But Jesus seemed to be prepared. Let's look at Luke 6 and verse 19. Is it 6? Yeah, Luke 6 and 19. The whole multitude sought to touch him. Everybody sought to touch him. Now, we learned about the woman, didn't we? We know that the woman crept up. But this was a whole crowd sought to touch him. For power went out from him and healed them all. Now, we're used to Jesus going and praying for people. We're used to people coming up to him and saying, can you touch my son? Can you raise my daughter? Can you heal my servant? We're used to that. But here, Jesus is just walking about and a crowd, not one person, a whole crowd of people just touched him. Because power was going out from him. And everybody who touched him got healed. Wow. Wow. Something is going on here. So, the Lord's Prayer. I want to say one or two things for just a short time now, and won't be long. I want to just take the first three words, basically. The Lord taught us to say our, first word, our, okay, our. Now that's a strange thing to do because the Lord said, go into your room, shut the door on your own and say our. Well, who's our? There's only me here. Who is our? I'm on my own. I always thought that our meant all the disciples. But it didn't basically mean that. If I say to you, if I say to Pastor Robin, this is our pen, what does it actually mean? It means it belongs to me and to him. That's right, isn't it? Are we all agreed with that? So whenever you say to somebody, this is ours, it means when you speak, it means that it's mine and whoever you're speaking to. And yet we don't actually take the scripture in what it actually says. Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father. What does that mean? It means his Father and my Father. Not somebody else's particularly. I made a mistake. I'm in my little room and I'm not actually on my own. Jesus is with me. Oh, he's never going to leave me or forsake me. When I go into my little room and I shut the door and I'm all there on my own, I'm not on my own. Jesus is here. And he says, what we're going to say is, our Father. It's oh my, it's Jesus and me. And it's going to be, second word, Father. It's our Father. So now what's happening in this prayer is that it's me and it's Jesus and Father together. And he's saying, you're not praying. This is really strange. Do you know, although God was called Father in the Old Testament, the people in the Old Testament never addressed him as Father, ever. You wouldn't, oh no, no, you couldn't address God as Father. He was the great God. Elohim. The one above everything else. You couldn't address God as Father. The disciples didn't know any prayer at all that started with Father. And Jesus says, when you come to pray, this is absolutely revolutionary for them. Our Father. We're in relationship. It's a Father and a Son. Oh, Lord, I've been called to be your Son. Jesus has died that I can be part of your family. You put a spirit of adoption upon me, that now I'm part of your family. And I can come to you. You've taken away all the things that were in the way. You've rent the curtain in the temple. And you've called me. And you've said there's no condemnation. You are now can come boldly before the throne of grace. It's my Father. Father, I'm here. I'm here, Lord. I'm here, Father. Right with you now. Jesus and me, your lads. We've come. Maybe that's a bit irrelevant. Irreverent, I don't know. But we've come to you, Father. And the first thing we want to do is to say, your name is great. There is no one like you on heaven or in earth or under the earth. There is no name above your name. We have come to you, Father, because you are the one that is everywhere. You're the one that knows everything. You are the one for whom all things are possible. There's the three of us here with our Father. All things are possible. Many of you will have had the experience. Daddy. And you know you're going to be asked for something. The older they get, the more likely it is to be money. Could I just have... Father, I've come to you again. We've come to you again because we are in need. But we've come to the great God who is above everything, for whom everything is possible. That's who we've come to. Wow. Wow. And what we're going to say to you, Father, the first thing we're going to say to you is that, when we've touched on this before, the first thing is, Father, we want your kingdom to come because you want your kingdom to come. So I'm going to align what I want with what he wants. So what we're saying is, Father, I've come here into this secret place because I want to learn what you want. I want what you want, and I want to hate what you hate. I want to be together with you, Father. And then we know we go on with saying, and your will, it's your will. Father, I'm just giving up my will. I want to be completely one with you. We want to be one with you. Myself, Jesus, and the Father. We want to be completely one together. Now I'm beginning to get prepared. Now I'm actually taking up a position that's required for when I get out of my little room. Do you see that? And then I say to Father, Father, come and fill me again. Come and give me everything I need in order to be, to say what you're saying, in order to do what you're doing, in order to be your representative, in order to be your son on earth, in order to be your feet if that's what's needed, and your hands if that's what's needed. Give me whatever I need to fulfill what you have planned for me today. And what God had planned for you today, did you? We've touched on what God has planned for you today. He planned before the world began, it says. That's what the Bible says. He didn't just, I've got a bit of an idea now. I'll send Dave today. That isn't how it works. The Bible says that God planned our good deeds before we were born, before the world began. And you need to be in a position, you need to be prepared to do what God has got planned for you today. Disciples. The man brought his son. You weren't prepared. You hadn't been in the secret place. You hadn't been saying, Father, I just want my will and your will to be one. I just want whatever I need to do. So Jesus went and he prayed and he came. And it said that he was full of the Spirit. We've read it. And all those that came to him who just touched him were healed. Why? Because the power that he got and he waited on Father for was there just to be drawn down. Will God do it for you? Of course he will. He said to the people, Jesus said to the people, do you know, even evil fathers know how to good gifts to their children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So here I am, Lord. Fill me again, Lord. Fill me again. And for those who haven't heard it, we know that what the Lord's Prayer goes on is to say, Lord, and all the resentments and hurts and all the things that I've collected up over the years, Lord, I just get rid of all of those. And all the unforgiveness that I've got towards other people, all the revenge that I've got in my heart, Lord, I'm going to get rid of all that as well. And all the temptations that have come into my mind that I've put in a drawer just against a rainy day, get rid of all those, Lord. Get rid of everything that stops the flow of your Spirit. Get rid of everything that stops me being completely filled for what you want me to do. I'm being intentional, brothers and sisters. It's what I'm doing. Will you do it as well? Will you say, Lord, it wasn't just any old prayer. It was a prayer to get me prepared for what you have for me to do. That's what it's about. Not just to rock up and hope it happens. You can rock up and see one or two things happen. I've done that as well in the past, but I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to stop there. So, Lord, as we come to this season, prepare us, Lord. Prepare us, Lord. We need to be prepared for what you want to do among us. And if we don't prepare our hearts more, Lord, what will happen is you'll just do what you've already done and no more. And Lord, I don't want that. I want the more, Lord, that you've promised. I want the better that you've promised. I don't just want it for me, Lord. I want it for all my brothers and sisters. I want it for them all, Lord. I want it for everybody in this church. So that we're ready and prepared when you come. With whatever you want us to do, whatever you ask, Lord. Mary said to the people at the wedding at Cana, whatever he says, do it. What if the people were able to say that about you? Whatever he or she says, just do it because the Spirit of God is upon them. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your great and wonderful and marvelous name, the name that is above every name, the Father for whom nothing is impossible. Father, our desire is that your kingdom would come. We want what you want, Lord. And our desire is that our wills, we would submit our wills to your will. Father, we give up the rubbish in our lives. We empty ourselves out that you may fill us. And Lord, we have an enemy that seeks to destroy us, so protect us from him, Lord, all his wiles. And we will acknowledge, Lord, that it's your kingdom, it's not our kingdom, it's not my kingdom, it's your kingdom, Lord. And it was all done with your power. And all the glory will be yours forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen.